To be as interactive as possible, I'm going to do a short presentation for about 20-25 minutes, and then I'm going to open up for Q&A as we look at end time, not moving for home groups at Gateway in the future. And I know some of this may be new, may be confusing, it may be lots of questions in your mind, which is normal because I also got lots of questions in my mind as well. And we're going to journey this together. And we're going to work through a way to understand how God has led us so far. So before we go further, we're going to have prayer, and then we're going to get started into this afternoon program. It's going to be short. The weather is beautiful out there. I know some of you want to go for a walk with your friends. Please do that. But let's just work through this together for another. We'll finish at 4. And so think of your questions. If you got questions, again, type it on the chat. I'm looking through it, so I know that your questions are coming through, okay? So let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for this time where we can learn together how you're directing our church. This is your church. You are the head of the church. And Father, these few months have made us think. Made us think what you want us to do. Made us realize that the time we live in is short. Made us realize that we need to be urgent in the way we go about doing our church, in reaching out to the world. Oh Father, prepare our family, prepare ourselves, prepare our church, prepare the community too. Thank you, Father, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. Thank you, Rick. You did have people over, fantastic. Anyone else that had people over, just type it in the chat. Love to hear from you, and we'll work through that together, okay? Now, end time norm moving forward, recalibrating the approach that we're going to prepare for the end time, preparing our church, preparing our people. You know, I think of the early days of Gateway. In the earlier days of Gateway, Gateway grew because we had strong care groups. You know, I remember that when we didn't have groups, when our families bought home, they were really desired that their home would become a ministry. I remember Auntie Judy and Uncle Cheng, before they bought their house in Ashburton, we went out there together and we prayed and ask the Lord to make this house a blessing. And I know this has been a blessing for them and for many people as well. I remember when I went to go with another church family and they were moving to buy a house, they also prayed that this house would be a blessing from God. So I thank God that over the years, God has prepared lots of care groups in different homes. I remember my friend, Dr. Samuel, when he moved to the work in the Box Hill, he says, I want to make a home here that's a care group for people as well. And I remember that. And I just sense that's what helped Gateway grow, a strong care group. What led to strong care groups? Because we have strong care group leaders, spiritual leaders, leaders that make a difference. And you know, and then what makes the care group is this culture of loving, prayerful, sharing, and urgent for the everlasting gospel. That was how our church grew, was very much through this concept of leaders and to spiritual leaders that leads to care group. And really worship is, and one or two or three or four, as worship is really a gathering of small groups. And that's really what it has been. You know, we are blessed by that experience. And let me ask the question. Many of you came to know the Lord through care groups, through friends who brought you to care group. And you know what? Because somebody made connection with you, invite you to a loving place, prayerful place, a place that they share, and it's such an amazing blessing. You know, have we drifted from the basics as a church? I wonder. Have we perhaps been dependent on the corporate church programs rather than making the care group a dynamic, a care group that is a lifestyle, a growing place? Some of our care groups have just grown, and praise the Lord, people have been baptized, but some are not growing. Some have been the stagnant, they're not multiplying, and some have just really become functional. We got roster for singing, roster for food, roster for everything, but hasn't been really a dynamic growing place. Has personal work fallen to a few people? Has that culture diminished in our church? You know, mission becomes merely a program rather than a lifestyle. Can we go back to a lifestyle? Is there a way that God is lifting up us, waking us up now to say, Let's make it a lifestyle. Let's go back to the basics that God has laid our church to be. You know, Gateway has been around for 17 years now. You know, 17 years with multiple generation of leaders. Things do change. And I think some things have been great and some things have been challenging. So we want to just recalibrate, take stock of that. Our present reality is this. The COVID-19 world is our new norm. And as Pastor Stephen preached this morning, even the Muslim brother tells him, what do you mean go back? You really can't go back. This is the new norm. There's no public gathering for worship for some time. In our situation, it's even more challenging because we rent facility from a university or council building. That'll be a while. Social distancing will be enforced unless there's a medical solution. There isn't. So they'll be enforced for over a period of time. The fear of virus clusters re-emerging, the second and third wave. You already heard in the news about some of the challenges in United States, some of the challenges in Brazil, even in Beijing, we see this emerging increase numbers. So there is a fear in the public to come to public gathering. So if there is a fear, how could church be like in the future? This fear, for us, we are members, we trust each other, we're happy to gather together. But what about those new friends? You know, the restrictions may ease from 5 to 10 to 20 and to 50 even, or even 100, but we don't know when. And even if it's ease, we don't know when some of these public places will allow us to use it. So there are restrictions, there are considerations. This is the new norm that we live in. Elder Peter preached 2 weeks ago that Ellen White saw a vision of the night. She saw that at the end of time, there were hundreds and thousands visiting the families and opening before them the Word of God. People were going back to the homes. And it was a great revival. It was a reformation of the time. And she said that reformation will be something we'll see at the end time again. Are we coming closer to that, my friends? You know, it's quite interesting times that we live in, isn't it? People are getting more relaxed. You walk around the shopping mall, you walk around different places. People are feeling like, maybe this will go back to the normal soon. But yet at the back of their mind, they're thinking, will there be another wave? Would there be another wave? And people are getting more relaxed. You know, things are changing. Could this be the beginning of sorrows? Could this be, as the Bible says, the beginning of sorrows? Will there be increase in pandemic and disasters in the city? Would there be increase in that? You know, I was talking to a person, a doctor by profession. He said to me, Johnny, it's not a question of if there's another pandemic. It's a question of when. And so boasting national capacity and hospital capacity, healthcare capacity, this is in the modeling of all the governments and all the people in authorities. We live in very interesting time. Yes, we don't have movement controls now. In some countries, there are movement controls. You can't leave your area where you live. A few kilometers, there's controls of how long you can be out. Yet, if this goes into the later time trial, we go into this time, Ellen White made it clear that not one in 20 Adventists will survive the shaking. That's a pretty sobering thought. Not one in 20. Wow. You know, this is the time where God is waking up His church. And I know the latter rain will fall. Thousands will come. And we're beginning to see a glimpse of it. People's hearts are turned to God. You heard Pastor Stephen's sermon this morning. That people's hearts that used to be not interested in the gospel are turning to God because they cannot find answer to this issue. So I think that when will we want to go back to norm? I don't think we ever go back at this stage to norm because there's just too many unknown and too many uncertainty. But we can't sit on our hands and say, just do nothing. We need to recalibrate, relook at how we do church. This is a picture of some churches that they have gone back. They had to put social distancing between people. I know some of the Adventist church, even in Korea, has gone back to and talking to the people there. What they've done is that they've set people sitting far apart. Everybody get temperature gauge, temperature check before they come in. Everybody get hand sanitized. Everybody get to wear a face mask. Try not to use the common toilet and facility. Try and no potluck, nothing like that. And then because they couldn't fit everybody in, people quickly have to leave the worship so that they could disinfect the place. And then the next group will come again. So the preacher will preach two or three times that church. The song leader will lead two or three times. So Sabbath, the whole day, they're running this program. I tell you, I don't know how effective this is in terms of building friendship when you really can't fellowship in that space. Yes, you gather together. Yes, you stand up and sing the song, the hymns together. Yes, you kneel together and pray. Yes, you listen to the sermon. But is that fellowship? Now, is that the model, even if we have a building, is that the model we want to go to? Is that effective in inviting a friend to come to hear the gospel message? Is that really effective? I would contend that a model in a home will probably be more effective, where there's friendship, where people can gather together, where there is a meal, there's fellowship. You know, I was so blessed with this situation now. Over the last few weeks, we have people coming to our homes, and I know many of you have done the same. And if you have people in your homes, yeah, please type it in the chat, Zoom chat. Love to hear from you guys. If you have people that come, you know, I'd love to see that is happening, because I think it's such a blessing when you have people in your homes. You know, one of the things is that when you're in the homes, it's more relaxed. It's more casual. People are able to hear the message and focus on the message. People are able to ask questions. They can interact and so on. So I really want to encourage that, because I think it's such a good thing that's happening. And I think that will increase fellowship in many ways. So love to hear from you guys. Use the chat and ask. Think of the question that we're going to work through. So preparing for the end time norm, there are two things that are really important: a strong home group and a strong digital church presence. They need to work together. Strong home group, digital church. A home group that is mission centers. They are hubs that goes out. They're reaching their community, their neighborhood. They're praying for it. They're thinking about who's living around me. Who are the members that have been missing? Who are the new friends that used to come to church? Who are my neighbors that could be invited to hear the gospel message? They are having a meal together. Doesn't that remind you of Acts chapter 2? And then the new friends come. They can experience a delightful Sabbath experience, a delightful Sabbath experience. It's good to see that even at the We Explore Center here, on Sabbath, there's a home group here. What a blessing to see that as well. Did you have a home group as well? Are you enjoying the Sabbath experience with your friends as they come together? And really, we want to get to a stage where in the home group, people can have face-to-face Bible study. And I think that's very meaningful when people have face-to-face Bible study. And so, worship groups from 5 to 20 people, depending on your home. You know, some homes can take maybe yourself and 5-6 other people and an apartment in the sea. Praise the Lord. If your home can take 15 people, praise the Lord. You know, it depends on your situation, but the idea is to gather and create fellowship and create an environment that's warm and loving. Now, lunch together, everyone can contribute. Like, oh, I tell you, somebody said to me in our home group lunch, wow, that's so hard to go back to soup and sandwich again back in the church, you know. We're having so good food here. Do I want to go back to soup and sandwich? You know, when the group is smaller, it's easier to manage logistically as well. So, but does it mean that you're forever not going to meet all my bigger group of friends? Of course not. Fellowship can come, and we can do that during SAP. We can go for nature walk together. In the outdoor environment, you can have a larger group when the easing happens. But in terms of worship, in terms of an opportunity to share the gospel, what a blessing to have it in a home together with our friends. So I want to encourage that, because I think that will be a blessing. Now, that means our psycho evangelism will change as well, right? We are familiar with campus work. We're so familiar to the idea of doing all week, invite them to welcome dinner, and then we invite them to a care group, and then we invite them to a boat trip or a Mount Dandenong hike. We used to order sequence of event leading to an Easter camp and then leading to, you know, friendship and so on. But that's changed. We don't operate in that world anymore. We can sit back and say, oh, I wish we can go back to that. I wish we can have all week again and we can do our outreach like then. Well, sorry, the time that we lived in has changed. And things we can sit back and look back, or we can look forward and say, God, what's the new way for us to work forward? And I think the new way for us to work forward is from digital to the home. The idea of digital outreach to the home, okay? So we need to do these six important steps. The first step is digital marketing. They need to go out there, because a lot of people online, to use the technology online. And this leads to an online public evangelism. And this is what's coming up. I know our evangelism team of Shadow, Aaron, Suki, and Kevin are working together to put a digital public evangelism program coming up. And the idea is that the speaker will present to a small audience, maybe in the center here, but then it'll be broadcast to the home groups. And we encourage people to gather home groups to invite their friends to come. And then gradually make an appeal for people to join Zoom classes, online interactive classes, Bible prophecy, mental health, health talk, Sunday school, whatever, online church, online classes, so that people can interact online and we get to know them and they get to ask questions. And gradually, as they begin to know things online, they begin to desire to join a place for worship. For example, it may take them a few weeks of engagement before people feel comfortable to invite them to a home. Now, parents, I know that you have kids. And many parents say to me, Johnny, one of my concerns about home groups is, what about the safety of my kids if I do not know all these strangers that come to my house? I can't just open my house to my strangers. And I said, exactly. And that's why it's so important to invite them to an online engagement first, an interactive engagement, or is it by referral? Once they study online on Zoom or using technology online, they come to these classes. They may even come to one of our center of influence and we get to know them. And it's only by referral that they can come to our home groups. Unless it's a friend that invite a friend and they will invite a friend to your home group and you know who they are. It could be their housemate. It could be their colleagues. That is fine. But if it's a total stranger, there is a process going through these steps. So once they go to home group, the home group studies will be relevant and it could work for them. And then there'll be a great gathering for public gathering for baptisms. I think it'd be nice to have gathering, and that could be in good weathers. You know, we can do it outdoor. If not, we have to organize it in the church. And if we organize in the church, we still need to have that restrictions and manage that accordingly. And then discipleship will go back to the home groups as well. So you can see it takes step-by-step work to get there. So what do you mean by digital marketing? Let's expand this a little bit more. Digital marketing requires a good content plan. A content plan is necessary. Your clear demographics who you're reaching out to. Understanding that digital marketing is a big spectrum. You can reach in broadcast mass marketing area, or you can reach in closing the deal. Marketing is a big thing. I work in business for a long time. And I have a marketing department that likes to spend money. And I keep telling them, you spend money, but that's good, but you do what we call lead generation. You generate the lead for me for potential prospective clients. But the thing is that's not enough. I need to close the deal. I need a purchase order. I need somebody to buy the product, you understand? So a lot of marketing is just pure marketing. It's brand awareness. It is it's brand equity. It is a market share. Right? This is what a digital broadband marketing does, and which is necessary, but that is not enough. If you're just playing in that space, you don't reach people in terms of helping them to come to make a decision. Marketing without decision is just purely spending money. So I tell my marketing department, don't just spend money. Make sure it turns into a purchase order. Now, I'm talking business terms for those of you in business. You understand what I mean. But digital marketing in the church gospel message is exactly the same. A lot of people do digital marketing in front end. They create a lot of good awareness for the church, but they don't close the deal. It doesn't close the loop. So it's necessary to close the loop. So any psycho evangelism should close the loop. So for example, I'll give you an example of working with TIJ Sunday School. It takes time to make this work. It doesn't just happen overnight. We need to develop a marketing partnership. TIJ TV Ministry does the front end broadcasting. They broadcast every Sunday 8:30 in the morning, and it's a lot of work in producing content, and Pastor Gary Ken does a great job with their team to do that. They reckon about 200,000 to 300,000 viewers that watch this, and every week they place an offer and a few hundred people respond to the offer. But their challenge is that they can't close the loop. So we say, let's partner together to close this loop. And so we create a marketing plan whereby they would do a certain part of the work, we would do a certain part of the work. We decided that we would do a TV advertising to promote a Sunday Bible school, so that the offer is not just to do email study or snail mail study or internet study, but they can actually come to a physical center to study the Bible. So we did, Suki helped us to write the TV script, the TV ad script. And then we took some video footage of the place and some photos. We made some building signage here in the city and also in Clayton with the TIJ logos. And then there's 2 months of advertising. Every Sunday after the program is over, Pastor Gary Ken, will recommend to come to join a Sunday school in the center. And then there's social media marketing at the same time. And then we invited Pastor Gary Ken to come to invite all his viewers to watch to come and see him live. And then we launched the Sunday Bible School. And praise the Lord, I think that's been going now for about 12 weeks. And we're touching, testing truth topics. And praise the Lord, the seekers are, and our friends are continuing to attend the meeting and making decisions in this meeting. Can you see, digital marketing requires a very good content plan. A plan that closes the loop. Not just a plan that creates brand awareness, a plan that actually closes the loop and bring people to decision. And this is step one. The idea is that once we do that for any evangelistic effort, any campaign that we do, there is a link from sowing to cultivating to harvesting and to nurturing. Now, the church now, or the center now here, the center of influence now, will change not just purely to become a center, but to become a channel of influence as well. It'd be a venue ready to broadcast, ready to set up and go, rather than deal with lighting and set up and all that. It's also a place where we can host face-to-face classes with social distance restrictions. It means we get to know the people before inviting them to the home. And we can link seekers who come online, but they may live out in Werribee, and we want to link them to a home group in Werribee. They may live out in Pakenham, we want to link them to a home group in Pakenham. So the idea being is that the center provides an opportunity for people to come digitally, as well as physically for those who are able, and then to connect them to the geographical home groups to integrate them further into the church. So we have to repurpose the use of our facility. We have to rethink what are we going to do with the center in We Explore Center in Morton Street, the We Explore Center in Pelham Street. We have to think, how can we utilize that in a meaningful way in this new world? You know, if we just sit back and say, oh, hopefully we can run programs again and we can open a door and people will come and just wait for the go back to the normal, I don't think that is worth waiting. I think God is making us think. How can we redo church differently? How can we do evangelism differently? And I know even as we're sitting down here, you're listening to me, I know the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, and you probably have ideas in your mind as well. So, you know, again, like I say, use the chat. Feel free to ask me questions if you have questions, and then I can react to that as well over the chat. Now, this church or the center of influence now becomes a center of influence that is a channel of influence. This is a picture of last Sunday when we invited the TIJ students to come under social distancing. They sat down and they had enjoyed a lunch together, and then they listened to Pastor Moses preach. And from then on, we also broadcast to the other people who didn't come physically. But here's the beauty. You do both. We have the digital space and we have the physical space working well together. Now, strong home groups is really necessary, because you can do all this front-end digital marketing stuff, but if we cannot bring them to a home, Because you can't bring them to a public space. If you bring them to a public space, imagine them coming to your public space. Everyone is social distancing. Everyone's sitting apart. There's little fellowship. They happen to stand and sit and kneel at the same time. And that's their worship experience. But what if you bring them to home and have a different worship experience that's positive and warm? I think it makes a bigger difference on the new friends that come. So we want to create a pleasant online experience at the homes as well. So some technology will be required at the homes to make it much more pleasant in terms of engaging online and digitally. People will come to different homes based on three reasons, I think. The first one, existing relationship. They will come because that's where their friends are. The second thing is that they will come because it is proximity. It's easy access to them. So if you're 5 minutes down the road, 10 minutes down the road, it's easier access than driving 40 minutes across town. The third thing people come to a group will be children of the same age. If the children are similar age, they're more likely to come together because then the children can do Sabbath school together, or the children can have peer support for each other and peer encouragement for each other. So these are some things that we notice. So the building block is this. We want to have to establish many home groups in Victoria, in Melbourne, and even I believe God is going to move this, not only just in Australia, it will go overseas. Home groups, because this COVID-19 is an issue not only in Melbourne or Victoria or Australia, is an issue globally. And if the way we do church is the old mindset of just going back to a physical church, because we can't do it at the moment, rather than we think out loud and say, Lord, what do you want us to do? Go back to the Acts 2 Church on Fire model. I think that's what God wants us to do. To be urgent in our mission, to have a unity of purpose. You know, Acts 2, there was unity of purpose, have strong leadership to make this happen. There will be resources to equip the home groups. We're working on a few things. One is that we want to provide curriculum package to help the home groups. We want to provide pastors and elders. We want to provide support and coaching to the home group leaders. And we are praying for 1 month. Since the May advisory meeting, I've been praying for a month. I said, Lord, please rise up your people who see this vision. Please put the burden in their heart. Please, Lord, you do this. This is not something the church should orchestrate and, you know, twist everybody's arms to do. That's not what it should be. It should be what the Spirit of God should be leading the work. And the Spirit of God will lead people to say, yep, God, I remember when I bought this house long ago. I prayed for it with my wife. We had no kids then, but we got kids now. I remember praying for this house. This is a house to be used by you. Oh, wouldn't it be great for this house to be a home group, would be a care group for you. Remember that prayer? God is calling us to fulfill the things that we have promised Him. These things, this home that we have, don't belong to us. Now, none of my house belongs to me. It all belongs to God. And I believe God is calling us today to say, how can my home, even one family, plus another Adventist family, two Adventist families with the same age kids, they invite a neighbor family. Wouldn't it be a big difference? Wouldn't it be a big blessing for somebody? Maybe you know somebody living in the 2 or 3 suburb or 1 suburb away that really is not connected to community. How can you bring them home to your home group? So one is that coaching and support is necessary. Number two, curriculum package. I believe we need to provide resources to allow leaders to be equipped to teach, to train, to share in the home groups. But we already done a lot of training in Gateway. We've done a lot of discipleship. We've done a lot of care group training. But there's more that can be provided for those who are newer. And finally, the third one is the technology package. A really useful thing is to make online environment pleasant. Try to get a wide-angle webcam so we can see everybody in the room rather than everybody huddle together and see the little iPad screen. It'd be nice to be able to see everybody. And I think it's important to get technology that can work. You know, we live in a time now. So that's our change, apparently. Victoria has just announced homes can have 5 public gatherings, can have only, 10 effectively tomorrow night. So they're reducing the number. 25 new cases. There are, 25 new cases in Victoria. This is breaking news. 25 new cases in Victoria. And the government announced they're going to reduce the gathering to only 10 people from tomorrow night. Can you see, my friends, things are moving rapidly more than we are. Even I'm talking here now, live, and things are happening here in Victoria. So I want to share with you, God has to stir our heart to get us ready to move forward by faith on what we're doing. Now, if you look at this map, this is a picture in general where most, where all Gateway members are living. I think I've got 95% of the information here. The yellow dots are those of Gateway West. The green dots are the Gateway City. The red dots or the magenta dots are the Gateway East, and the blue dots are the Gateway Lighthouse. We're scattered everywhere, all the way from Werribee to Frankston to Cranbourne to Lilydale to Caroline Spring. We're scattered everywhere in the metro of Melbourne. Now, if we partner together, if we collaborate together, I believe 1 + 1 = 2. I believe God can multiply His work much greater. If they're all the same color, they are green, the potential of putting home groups, 20 home groups around Melbourne, is not inconceivable. It's not inconceivable. Probably closer to 30. There are synergy in pulling those resources together. Now, you might say, well, but what about my care group in the city? What about my care group in the east? We're not changing care group. Care group remains the same. You got care group on Friday night, on Saturday afternoon, Saturday evening. They still remain the same. Home groups provide new connecting points, new opportunity for those who are not connected to church. And this is a great place to consider. Can your home that God has given you, that belong to God, be used for His kingdom purpose? I believe it can. Gateway vision is to be a soul winning and training center that multiplies churches. Maybe our vision statement should be, Gateway will be a soul winning and training center that multiply home groups. You know, think carefully. Think carefully. If this is the beginning of sorrows, if there are one path to take, if the Lord delays His coming, that's another path to take. I'll give you a thought to think about. If we are going through very difficult times, and I believe that Jesus wants to come soon, and we have a part to play to hasten His coming, that part is to be urgent. Rather than sit down on our hands and saying, oh, I wish we go back to normal. No, it's time for us to realize God is stirring the hearts of people. You know, Ellen White tells us in Spirit Prophecy that there are three phases towards the end time. And how does that relate to our home groups? The first phase is now. Delay is still possible. We run the race with patience. God may still call us to sell in things. But then the time will come where a national law will be passed that would impact our conscience, our liberty of conscience. And then they will go into the mild phase where the prophetic no point of return. The sprint to the end will happen here. Things will happen very rapidly. It's the last chance to sell, last chance to change our situation. And then when you get to the severe phase, that's the Revelation 13 phase. You can't buy or sell. And then persecution will intensify. Now, if this is the beginning of sorrows, and preparing our members in the home groups is a vital step, because that's also the vision of the end time that Ellen White saw, is a vital step. Because if there are movement controls, the restrictions comes in more and more, yeah, if that happens, our people are ready. They're more equipped. And even if they have to move away from the city, that home group support concept, the home group skills that they have already today will be carried with them to the country area. And if you put the right technology package in place in the home group now, that technology, if expanded well, could be used by those home groups to be a home broadcasting system, to continue to share the gospel even though in difficult time. Even if in social distancing and more restriction come in, every home group will have more capacity and more capability to share the gospel. And they know what they need to share. We have to transition to home groups that are loving mission hubs for the end time norm. This is really necessary because our time is short. Now, you might say to me, but what if we can go back to 100 people to church, and what if the university let us hire? What if the council let us hire? All right. If the Lord delays His coming, and we can go back to that, you also have to ask the question, And let's say there's no more social distancing required. Maybe you're like the country of New Zealand, where they said they eradicated all this problem. Maybe you can go back to physical church again. Well, that's if the Lord delays his coming. But even if that happened, the months of doing home group now give us capacity, give us capabilities, and give us the readiness that we need to have when trouble comes again. So why not go down that option now? Why delay? Why keep saying, oh, let's go back? I wish to go back too. I wish to go and see the kids all together in Sabbath school, in church. I wish to shake hands with my church friends. I have the same desire. But the reality of the world that we live in is that I believe Jesus is coming soon. And if he's coming soon, let's prepare our homes. So, I'm sure that this might be quite challenging for some people to understand. But if you study Bible and spirit prophecy, you get the idea. You get the idea that we live in interesting times. So what I want to open now is for questions. Is there anyone with questions that you want to ask? I will have my phone open here with your questions. And I just want to hear from you. If you want to type your questions on the chat, I'll be able to see the questions. We'll be able to ask the questions as well. Please feel free to ask. So I'm looking at the chat now. So if there's any question that you have regarding home groups, we have developed short videos. You watched two already. There's another three more to come to explain home groups. Home groups are not independent house churches. That's not what it is. We're not talking about independent house churches. Home group is about a home group with digital church working together. That's what we're talking about. Home group is not unaccountable, independent groups. No, there's accountability. They will be coached by pastors and elders to support their mission work that is going to operate. Home group is not a group that will just have to struggle with their own home church worship. No, I don't think that will be effective. If every home group has a plan, rosters for singing, preaching, and children's story, if every home group have to do that, we are diverting our energy to programming rather than directing our energy to reaching out to our friends. So I would encourage you to get into that. Well, okay, let's feel free to ask questions. I'm going to look at your question now. Would the pastors and elders rotate to visit each home group from time to time? That's a really good question. I think where that is beneficial, they will do that. But it's also probably more likely that the pastors and elders will look after geographically. So it really doesn't matter. If you got, say, members living in Cranbourne, out there, you got members from Lighthouse, a member from East there, you have one pastor looking after more the Southeast area, one pastor and elder looking after that area, then more likely they will provide the care and support for the leaders. If you care and support for the leaders, then you can care and support for the members there. So, yeah. So the question that we have is that would they make a rotation? If there is a need, yes, definitely. But in terms of general care, it probably makes sense to them in terms of geographical regions. Every pastor, every elder look after different geographical regions, regardless of where their current congregation is. Question, what is the direction from the Victorian Conference of the Australian Union? There haven't been any at this moment because I think they're thinking about it as well. There are some churches in Australia whereby they give, well, I think the conference gives the flexibility to the local church. For example, there are some churches in Australia that have contacted me and said to me, we're thinking what to do in terms of this. I just spoke to a church board just this week from New South Wales in Greater Sydney Conference, and they said to me, yeah, we're thinking, do we go back and sit like those people with face masks and social distance and then disinfect the church for the next group to come and I have to preach three times in church? Is that what we're going to do? They were thinking like that. And then the church board started watching the videos and learning about home groups. They said to me, this makes a lot more sense. So what they're going to do is that they're going to have digital church where they have a small audience in one service, but they broadcast into the home churches as well. So I believe that this idea of broadcast to home church is becoming more and more important. Broadcast to the home groups is becoming more important. In terms of the conference, they give us flexibility on how we do it. There are some country churches that are very big that can sit maybe 60 people, but they only have 10 members. So for those church, not a problem. They can go back to physical church. But again, we ask the question, is that effective for reaching out to the people for the end time that we live in? Next question. How many families do you recommend to work together as one home group? It really depends on the size of the host home, and depends on the relationship and also the age of the children. Now, if you have children of similar age and they can go into Sabbath school together, it makes sense, yeah? But if your children are all different age and you need 5 rooms to do Zoom Sabbath school, that's a bit harder. So you really need to look at several of those factors. Some home groups will actually gather only for worship service. I remember one of my last week, a couple of people were in the car doing prayer and praise, driving to my house for worship service at 11:30. So, but they did Sabbath school in their own home. So I think that is a possibility whereby, but let's say ideally, I think it'd be nice for 2 or 3 families to work together because it's, the burden can be shared across the 2 or 3 families to make it work. Yeah. We'll be always worshiping with all 3 churches together or go back to each church having its own worship. I heard there might be a way for Kegel to broadcast worship on a rotation basis. Yeah, Mario, the question is this. Will we be having 4 online worships? I'm not sure whether that's a good use of our energy and time at this moment. But having said that, a lot of people don't know how much work goes behind online worship. The team that goes behind this, the AV team, the broadcast team, the Zoom security management team, a lot of people don't realize how much work goes beyond this. They only see the people in the front here doing MC, song leading, and preaching, but they don't realize there's a team behind at the broadcast site to make this work. So I'll be careful. If anybody want to do and serve in this work, come to the center on Sabbath morning and you'll see what's involved in this work. It is quite intensive, and the security is quite important as well in providing a safe digital church environment. So the way I see is this, if we provide technology package to the home groups, eventually, as in the long term, eventually, what will happen is that the technology package would allow that home group to actually function like a home casting system. So for instance, maybe you might have 5 people or 6 people in your home, and 2 of them can be the song leaders, 1 of them can do prayer, 1 of them could preach. Eventually, that home group can actually run a worship service and broadcast the whole of Gateway to the other home groups as well. Wouldn't that be fantastic? I think that'd be a great idea. Then we will involve more and participate more in it as well, provided that we have the technology and the security infrastructure to support that work as well. So yes, that's a good question. We want to encourage more participation, but I think that's we have ramped up our learning in terms of the digital environment. We ramped up our technology, our equipment, the lighting, the security, and so on. That's been done. But we also want to get to the stage where we want to equip the homes, that the homes can be homecasting in the future as well. Okay, question. What's the difference between current care group and home groups? Kevin, that's a good question. The current care groups do not change. You have your care groups on Friday night. You have your care groups on Saturday afternoon. You have your care groups on Saturday night. You have care groups that are mainly by geography, and some do happen. There are people around the campus. They form a care group there. But there are some care groups where people are coming from all over the place on different nights. So care groups can still operate as it is, and that's great because there's a good connecting point, a good community. But then home groups that operate on Saturday morning and on Sabbath Saturday will operate on a different time. It doesn't clash with it. But it provides another connecting point for people that are not connected to care group or not connected to a particular things in church at this moment. So yes, so could it be a care group become a home group? Yes, that's possible. If you got people living close within a suburban area, like let's say they are all around Melbourne Uni or around Monash Uni, they could form a care group, could meet on a Saturday morning and become a home group as well. Maybe not all the care group will be there, maybe a percentage of the people will be there. But here's the point, home group and care group the reason why they're sustained and grow is because they're evangelistic. So it's important that it remains evangelistic as well and make it work that way. If it's just purely for fellowship, we have many ways to do fellowship. We've got many SAP slots that we can do fellowship. We get many Saturday night slots to do fellowship under the restrictions that we operate in. But there are many opportunities to do that. We can even do fellowship online as well. Yeah. So that's another way to do that. Okay. Keep the questions coming. I'm glad some of you are asking more questions. Is there any other questions? Please feel free to type it in there. Because I got another 5 more minutes and I think it's important. We got an FAQ that I'm going to send out to the whole church that basically explain. People ask me the next question. Oh, that's a question that says, does it mean that we don't have the structure of the church now with advisory board and leadership? No. No change to the governance structure. No change to the governance structure. Governance structures do not change because in our church, those change can only happen in church business meeting. The only reason why we're doing home group now is to prepare and proclaim the everlasting gospel. It really for evangelistic purposes only. So when we have different home groups in different regions, we can have a pastor elders look after this region. More home groups in this area, pastors elders looking after. Home groups in this area, pastors elders looking after that. So the pastors and elders get together for pastoral support, making sure that people don't slip through the crack, making sure that the home groups are equipped, they are empowered, and making sure they have resources to make it work. You know, I really want to get to the stage where we can put resources in the home groups rather than into a physical church building. It'd be fantastic to equip our home groups to become homecasting in the future. It'd be fantastic to make the digital experience in the home group a pleasant experience. We have a wide angle camera lens where you can see everybody sitting there. Maybe an omnidirectional microphone in the middle of the coffee table. People can interact and listen to the conversation. And it'd be true, like a video conferencing capacity. With that capability is there, it makes that technology environment, it makes the experience much more pleasant, especially if we're inviting new friends. Especially if we're having a public evangelistic meeting where the speaker speaks, he makes an appeal, or he asks questions. People can ask. People don't feel like, oh, I need to walk up to the iPad and speak to the iPad. They don't have to do that. If we can create a technology pleasant environment, it'll be an environment that could work for outreach and work well. Is there any other question from anyone else there? Feel free to ask. I'm glad that we have this opportunity to learn this together and to discuss together. Let me see whether there's any one more question as we go through here. Did I miss any question, team? Oh, we got all. Yeah. So, there's one more question. Should seeker be accountable to care group or to home groups? Well, it all depends. If the seeker is already in your care group and they come to your care group regularly, then I don't think we need them to be accountable. They tend to be supported, I think that's what you mean. Should seeker be cared by care group and home group? I think both. I think they should be cared for rather than accountable to. So I think that is great that if we can invite our friends, if they're already coming to care group, praise the Lord, let the care group care for them. If they come to a home group, let the home group care for them too. Imagine being cared for by both care group and home group. It make a wonderful experience for our friends. So I think that we are at a stage now whereby it didn't matter. Like in my home group today, I had people from city, I had people from the east, I had people from different Gateway Church. And we had a pleasant experience, a blessing experience. I'm always thinking in my next week, next Sabbath, who are the families, who are the friends, who are the former Adventists that are living around me that I can invite to a home? Because more likely they'll come to my home rather than step into church. Even if we just invite them for lunch first and meet my church friends again, they might not want to come to worship, but that's all right. They can have lunch and we can go for a walk together, have time together. What about those? The other day, We had a church, a family come, and they invite their parents to come. The parents have not been to church, but they were happy to come to a home. And they were listening to the sermon as well. So, my friends, God is creating new possibilities for us. And I believe that He's opening the door in these difficult circumstances and to make it work. Will church provide evangelism material for home group? Yes, that's an important part. The church should be providing resources. That's why I think curriculum resource package, technology package, and pastors and elders supporting and mentoring and coaching is also a vital thing. So as the evangelism team are planning for evangelistic meeting, we have Pastor Yudin planned for this year. He would broadcast to a small audience under social distancing, and we want to pray that the home groups will rise up, and God will rise up home groups. My friends, today I make a final closing remark. I don't know how long or how worse or how good things will be. I really don't know. Just the other day, I was talking to Sky's family in Penang, Sky's father and his brother. And in Penang, they were telling me about the situation there. And they also say, look, we need to think of a new way of doing church. And they're embracing the home group concept there. I was talking to the work in our brothers and sisters in Hong Kong, the pastor there and the elders there. And our Hong Kong church also has moved to, the Harvest Church has moved to home groups. You know, I don't know how long, whether it gets better or worse, it doesn't matter. All I know is this, we need to build capacity, we need to build skills, we need to build preparedness of our members and our church to operate in this new world that we live in. I'd rather do that, rather than sit on my hands and say, let's wait and wait and wait and hopefully we'll go back. I don't think that's the way to move forward. As a church, we need to move forward. We need to press together. We need to unite together. Let God consecrate our hearts. Let the Holy Spirit revive us and prepare us for a mighty work to do. The Bible calls this the loud cry. The time will come where we need to, with the power of the Holy Spirit, we'll proclaim an Ellen White's vision where she sees hundreds and thousands visiting the home will come into fruition. Wouldn't that be a great day? My friends, today, if you're willing to make your home a home group, I just ask you to pray in your heart. Lord, who are the people around me? They're on the fringe. They could be members even. They're not connected. Who are those around me that are ex-Adventists that used to come to Gateway that I can share the good news with them? Maybe the pandemic is stirring something in their hearts. Who are those, my family, extended families, that really need to hear the gospel and they really need to hear the good news of Jesus in the time that we live in? Who are they? How can my house, Lord, that you've given to me, you know, you've given me the funding, my employment, my funds to buy this house, who are they that could come to this home that belong to you? I pray you make a decision today to be a blessing for God and make your home a blessing. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for this time where we can learn together. Father, I thank you that you have prepared our church for such a time as this. I thank you for the leadership team of our church. I thank you for the members of the advisory that have been praying together since May. I thank you for the board and the leadership that have been praying for the church members as well. I pray for each one, Father, that you will guide and you will direct. Thank you for listening to us now. Thank you for giving us these thoughts. We surrender. We put these plans on the altar at the feet of Jesus, that you may bless us so that we are led by your Spirit, not led by human effort. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for